You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. San Francisco Unified School District came under heat from Mayor Breed last month. She blasted the district for continuing efforts to rename its schools that are named after controversial public figures, even though they hadn't finalized a plan to reopen schools.
These are children, and they deserve the very best, and we have a responsibility to give that to them. In this city, 113 private and parochial schools have opened with over 15,000 kids and no outbreaks.
Well, last week, the school board did approve a plan to reopen schools before the end of this academic year, but it will likely be at least two more months before teachers and students are back in classrooms as the board continues to work out all the details. And for teachers, they've been teaching remotely for the past year. Today, we'll meet one of them as part of our series At Work, where we hear how jobs have changed since the coronavirus shutdown.
I have a lot of pride in my work.
How do you do it?
Sprays, masks, gloves.
I'm with the Swamp Team.
Hi, my friends, and how are you?
It's nice now with technology.
Pandora's box has been opened.
It's a beautiful way to make your living, but it's more work than I ever imagined.
Amanda Levin has been an educator for almost three decades. Most recently, she's been teaching at Leadership High School. The school's enrollment is 99% students of color. It's also a Title I school, meaning it serves a lot of students who are at or below the poverty level. Reporter Vivian Bosu Skinner talked to Ms. Levin at the beginning of the school year. And a note of disclosure, Vivian was Ms. Levin's student in 2012 and 2014.
When the bell rang at the end of the day on March 12th, Amanda Levin didn't know it would be the last time she would see her students in person. Like most teachers across the globe, she had to finish the school year over Zoom.
So there was a moment, I went into my classroom about a month ago, and it reminded me of Pompeii. I don't know if you remember studying ancient Pompeii, but when the volcano blew up, everybody's just like frozen in place. I went in my classroom and the calendar was still up and it said prom and it said senior trip. And I thought, oh, wow. And I remember when we left, the plan was that we were canceling our senior trip and we were canceling school through spring break. So we were like, see you on April 6th to get an extended spring break. It's a little sucky because it's not what you wanted, but like, make the most. And then when they kept extending, about the third week in June, when I started looking at the trends and the numbers of the virus in America and looking at our general societal attitude about it, I was like, we're not going back to school. The only thing that matters now is that we got to figure out actually how to effectively teach in these new conditions.
Since the spring, she's been working from her apartment in San Francisco. She's lived at her Mission District apartment with her cats for nearly 10 years, and now the kitchen has become her office and her classroom. When the pandemic hit San Francisco in early spring, Levin says that the challenge wasn't figuring out the ideal way to teach. It was everything else.
At that point, we were really just like, how can we keep kids safe? How can we keep kids sane? How can we support families?
She found herself helping students and their families figure out their taxes, file complex unemployment applications, and sort out immigration appeal documents. It was a lot that had nothing to do with her government and economics lesson plans.
It reminds me of that old game. Do you remember Whack-A-Mole? Where like one pops up and you hit it and then you gotta hit another one and another one. That's what this whole thing reminds me of. It's just like every time we're like, oh, we gotta deal with this. And we hit it down. We're like, oh, then there's this. So that was, my semester ended in absolutely like a sense of relief that we had managed our crisis. This semester, we're going in with a planned progression for distance learning. So that's hugely different.
This will be Levin's 27th year of teaching. I'll never forget how she taught us about trench warfare. She set up all the desks on opposite sides of the classroom and had us sit on the floor behind them, throwing balled up paper across the room. She had a way of making each lesson memorable by connecting the subject to something contemporary, like an assignment where we made memes about ancient history. This new school year didn't start with familiar projects and activities. It started with learning a whole new platform, Zoom. She's had to adapt all those tried and true methods she spent her career honing.
I love my material. I love the strategies I've developed over decades in the classroom, and they're all totally useless. The curriculum can't not shift.
In the past, Levin's classes have focused on projects and group work. It's been a challenge to figure out how to retain some of the feeling of group cohesion without being in the same room. And this is uncharted territory. There aren't that many case studies and best practices to draw from. She's a member of multiple teachers' groups and teaching websites, but most of her peers are just as new to this situation as she is. One thing that hasn't changed, many of her students are dealing with chaotic home lives and other circumstances that can make learning more challenging even in a normal year. But now there's nowhere to go, and remote learning presents new obstacles.
There are kids who come to school because it's safer than being at home for a whole host of reasons, whether it's their neighborhood or some complicating situation at home. You know, and I've got a 16-year-old girl who's living in a two-bedroom apartment with 12 people and has to share one internet connection and maybe has a computer, so she's gonna try to do stuff on her phone until her data plan runs out.
The pandemic is bringing to the surface the societal inequities that already exist in the classroom.
Like so many things in society, and I hate to sound like I'm giving up or I'm not taking ownership of this, but these are systemic problems, right? These are so much bigger than like, does that kid have a laptop? This is like, oh, hey, this school district isn't funded well because of property taxes, and that goes back to redlining, and it's all based on these other social structures that are so, they're not immovable. We're saying they're not immovable, but they're so big, like that wheel turns really slow. So who I think is being affected the most are always gonna be people who don't have economic resources to make up deficiencies, which they're gonna definitely face with school closure. So that could be childcare, that could be people missing out on work, that could be food insecurity. And then it's gonna be my students who don't have the tools and resources, sort of literally and figuratively, to do distance learning.
For many students, school provides more than just education. They depend on other school services like food and nutrition assistance, psychological aid, and resources for students with special needs. I asked Levin if there were any people or groups stepping up to fill the gaps.
Yeah, I mean, we are starting to see people like fill some of these need voids, I would call them, right? But mostly the way things work in America is everything's always like triage. It's always like putting a Band-Aid on a compound fracture. You know, it's sort of like, oh, I've got 100 computers I can donate. Well, great. We have like, you know, 300,000 students that we're looking at. So yes, I think people are trying to help in the ways that they can.
Ultimately, Levin tries to take a broader view of the situation.
And if there is a way to sort of maintain some sort of semblance of progress educationally and not put additional people at risk, that really just seems like our focus.
She believes we're at a point where we need to change our approach. While our first instinct might be to resent the changes and run the other way, we have to adapt. And that may fall on the shoulders of teachers just beginning their careers.
This sounds so cliche, but I'm looking to all y'all who are like 27 and under to save our souls. Like, hope for humanity rests on you.
In Berkeley, I'm Vivian Bosu-Skinner for Cross Currents.
Thanks, Vivian. You can find a link to SFUSD's in-person learning readiness dashboard at kelw.org.